This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, top stories of the day. How about Nick Clifford? Now, it's still preseason in the NBA. And the Kings are 0-3 in the preseason. Whatever, who cares? But last night, Sacramento went up against the Clippers, and Nick Clifford had a really nice game off the bench. Put out a lot of minutes, but 19 points for him. 20 minutes in this game, 19 points, 3 rebounds. Solid for a rookie. And again, I watched a lot of Summer League this year, and I watched a lot of Nick Clifford, and I heard Kings general manager talking about how, you know, he's going to come in and provide a really reliable piece off the bench and earn that. This is a guy, stand by it. Even though the numbers have been phenomenal, were phenomenal for Isaiah Stevens in CSU, and then David Roddy, obviously, a first-round draft pick. So was Neek. I think Neek's going to be the guy that makes it. I don't think we're going to be talking about him being like a traveling dude. I think Neek's going to be a big-time player in this league. He just has the body type for it, and everything about his skill set screams that he is built for the NBA, for the NBA game.
A lot of traveling in the NBA. I feel like this is very unique of a situation.
Tua Tagovailoa apologizes to Dolphins. I'm going to start limiting you to like one of those. Tua apologizes to Dolphins teammates for his comments. I thought that was interesting because he was pretty damning. Like, guys aren't showing up to team meetings. Guys are showing up late, and then you had to put your coach in a corner. He had to kind of go on the defense of, well, you know, because you're calling out your coaching. But he did come out and apologize for it. Said, I've made a mistake, and I'm owning up to that right now. I've talked to guys on the team about it, talked to the leaders about it, and they know my heart. They know that the intent was right. But no matter the intent, when things get misconstrued, or however the media wants to portray it, that leaves a void of silence and a lot of questions for the guys on our team now being 1-5. We talk a lot about, all right, we got to get this going. Come in excited to go to work, forget about the noise. And I feel like I just added on to that for our guys. Stop. Tua is definitely one. We're in this new age now of athletes and coaches like, oh, you didn't play the game, you don't know. He's definitely one of those guys. Well, don't blame. There's a lot of things to blame the media on. Like the question to Travis Hunter we talked about, like, oh, you got baptized on Sunday? Why'd you do that? That's a dumb question. But don't say the media misconstrued it. You said it. Direct quote. I watched the video. You said it. You said we need to be accountable. Guys aren't showing up to meetings. Guys are showing up late to meetings. Apologize, that's cool. I'm glad you did that. But don't try to like make it seem like media members are taking those quotes, which we watched you say, and misconstrued them. This is where you do defend the media on this one. It's like, no, you said those things. Those actually came out of your mouth. Speaking of local guys, Hornets Way veteran guard Spencer Dinwiddie, just 3 months after signing him. So they've already seen enough, apparently. The team announced this morning that they signed, that they had released him. He signed a one-year, $3.6 million deal with the Hornets in early July amid free agency. But Charlotte had to release a guaranteed salary ahead of next week's regular season opener and chose his in an effort to get to the maximum of 15 standard contracts on the current roster. So, yeah, I mean, that's a CU buff right there. The guy's been in the league a while now. He's been in the league. He was drafted in the second round, pick number 38 by Detroit in 2014. So he's put together a long career in the NBA. More NBA news. Jason Kidd was praising Cooper Flagg's performance as the starting point guards in the team's final two preseason games, but stopped short of committing to opening the season with him as the starting quarterback, or quarterback, point guard, quarterback, same thing, point guard, into the immediate future. I'm excited to see Cooper Flagg and what he's got. That's going to be fun to see. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I got into this yesterday a little bit with Sean Keeler about the Denver Nuggets, and I wanted to spend some time talking about them. Their season's coming up. I think they start up on the 23rd. And David Adelman is trying to take this approach of, I mean, they're all copycat leagues. So when you hear like the cliche of the NFL's a copycat league, they're all copycat leagues. You tend to look at what did the last champion do that was overwhelmingly great? And I said this, and people called me crazy for it, but the Thunder play such an aggressive style of defense that it's sometimes difficult to tell whether they're fouling or not. They're just so, and so Joker talked about this and what David Adelman's preaching. They want to get them some of that, where they got guards dipping down into the paint and getting aggressive on the bigs. You saw what Caruso tried to do, or I guess did do at times to Nikola Jokic and Aaron Gordon in their series. They're wanting to try to do some of that, where Joker even said, I don't have the direct quote in front of me, but basically said, we want to get to the point where we're right on the edge of, is that a foul or not? Which is, you got to be very careful with that brand of basketball. But the Thunder, with the way they played last year, that's exactly why they were deep, obviously, but that's one of the major reasons they won an NBA championship. Their defense was so freaking pesky. I think that they played with an aggressive style all the time, and when they'd foul, it was harder to see if whether that was like an obvious foul or not, because they're always aggressive. They're always trying to strip the basketball from you. So can Denver do that? Can they get to even, I mean, it's a deeper team now. They're going to have the ability to throw guys out there. I'll be curious to see kind of how David Adelman decides to roll out these lineups. Like, will we see times when it's almost like a platoon type of situation where you take out the starting five and you put in a brand new five with Bruce Brown, Julian Strother, Peyton Watson, Jonas Valanciunas, Tim Hardaway, whatever that looks like. Now they have the depth to do that. And obviously Michael Porter Jr., who is very lethal from the three-point line. We know how good he was. He'll go down as one of the really good Nuggets. I don't think we're going to say he's one of the great Nuggets, but he was somewhat of a liability defensively, especially in the playoffs when he basically had the one shoulder. This is what I'm excited to see, because Cameron Johnson, to me, maybe a slight downgrade in three-point shooting percentage, but not much. But a slight upgrade, maybe beyond a slight upgrade on the defensive side. And now with they're throwing looks in the preseason with Jonas and Joker out there at the same time with that zone defense. And I'm excited to see Adelman hopefully really commit to the defensive portion of this game, because that's been lacking for Denver. And it's hard to say if that's working right now. Again, it's preseason, but you held the Clippers to 94 on Sunday. The Bulls scored 117. You held Toronto to 108. Whatever. I mean, offenses are rolling now. That's just how it goes. But that would be awesome to see these different lineups just thrown out defensively. And this will be the test now for Adelman. You know, he was thrown into a really difficult spot to start the year, or to start his coaching career. Hey, we're going to fire the guy that just won a championship in 2023 because everything had gone so south. we're going to throw you in the final three games of the season, try to inspire the troops enough to get us out of a play-in situation, which they did, and then they won a series. Now it's the test because you're not sneaking up on anybody, and you have the depth. You have the lineup. This lineup, to me, looks much better by far than it did a season ago. This time last year going into it, because the screams were, can young guys step up? Can we survive jokerless minutes? That was the big theme of the Nuggets for the last, couple of seasons. And I think the answer right now to me is going to be yes, and I don't care about the record. They're 3-1 in the preseason, whatever that means to you. Jamal Murray looks like he's in better shape. Those are exciting things to see. I didn't go to Media Day this year, but just seeing the pictures and seeing some of the highlights, I haven't dove in a lot on preseason basketball. It's hard for me to do. Preseason basketball, preseason hockey. Preseason for me is really, I do get into the NFL, but outside of that, it's hard to really dive in. Last game for Denver on the preseason side is tomorrow night at 6 o'clock against the Oklahoma City Thunder. We'll see how much the starters actually play in that game. And then the real thing starts up next week. So I'm pumped to see what this team will bring. I think it does have the feel that this could be a championship caliber team, but again, until proven otherwise, the Thunder are the team to beat. And now you're seeing teams trying to see if they can get them some of a little bit of what the Thunder, what made them so successful last year, and that's a deeper bench and playing a really aggressive style of defense. First event is to text line is 888-530-0043. I do want to thank Lemons Heating and Cooling. Make sure your heater is up to the task as we're getting into cooler and cooler temperatures to the point where we're going to be flat out cold. Make sure that heater's ready to go this winter. Free estimates are available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Give them a call, 970-567-0798. 17 minutes after the hour. Michael, we'll take a short break here. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Coming up, we got the Thursday night special. Got to get back in the win column after a couple of losses in a row. We'll see how it goes. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the college football weekend with Rocky Mountain College kickoff. Fridays at 2 and an encore Saturdays at 7. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Texter from Go Pokes on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Can the Pokes score 40 this week in Pixar on Friday? Everybody knows that. Thank you for that, Go Pokes. Well, they scored 35 against San Jose State, but that was it's kind of a weird 35. I mean, your only hope to beat Air Force is to score, I think, really to score that much. You got to turn this into like a shootout between these two teams. I'm still just flabbergasted that Air Force is 0-4 in the conference. Every game I watch of theirs is entertaining. Their offense is rolling. They cannot be stopped, but they can't stop anyone. I mean, the total in this game for Wyoming Air Force is 58.5. I ain't touching that. I would not touch that. I would stay away from that. Wyoming is a 3.5-point dog in this game. I don't know, man. Go Pokes, how do you feel? I mean, you watch this team religiously. You're watching these players and these matchups closely. Do you think that this offense finally figured it out? Caden Anderson had some good throws. I loved some of the runs in this game. They had some big plays, but this is a huge game for the Cowboys. They could be right in the thick of the standings in the conference if they win this thing. They lose it, then they drop down to the bottom of somewhat to the bottom of the barrel. So this is a monster game. I think Air Force is out of it, which is sad to say because they've been the most entertaining team of all of them, except for maybe UNC. UNC's starting to score more. As far as the teams that we talk about, UNC's starting to look really good. Go Pokes, really. No, but that's not 40. Saying 38-35 Wyoming. still a lot of points for the Cowboys to put up. Scored 17 against UNLV, scored 20 against the Buffs, 6 against Utah, that's Utah. They did score 31 against Northern Iowa, only 10 against Akron. I mean, that's the hope, is that you can get in, you're going to be in it. You are probably going to be in a track meet, and you have to hope that you can just keep up. Because Wyoming's defense is pretty damn good, though. But, you know, 28 points to San Jose State, all that came in the first half, and then they shut it down. They shut down the Spartans with like 8 minutes left in the first half. That they started to look exactly like they've looked all season. That is a really good defense. If there is a defense maybe that could slow Air Force down a bit, it would be Wyoming. But if they can't and you're in a track meet, that's when I worry. If Air Force marches down, scores right off the bat, maybe they go up 2 scores early. Can you dig out of that hole? You dug out of it against San Jose State. But I think Air Force is still, I think they're a decent football team. They're really good on one side of the ball and just really bad on the other. Question is, why? You know, Wyoming's really good on one side of the ball. Can they be a little bit above average? Can they be even average against Air Force? If you could do that, then I think they could win this game. I'm having a hard time with this pick. That one's a Saturday at 1:30 on CBS Sports Network. That's a big one. Big game in the conference for the Cowboys anyway. Air Force is probably at the point now where they're just playing spoiler throughout the rest of the year. Then on the other side, you have Colorado State playing Hawaii. We'll have Kevin Lytle in studio at 1:35, Michael. There you go. Going up against a really good Hawaii team. Like a much better than they've been in the past. I think the Rams are favorites in this one, but the availability report for the Rams, I did see Justin Marshall was not listed on the report, so that's a good sign. Kevin noted that none of CSU's running backs are on the report. Anyone not listed is considered to be available. Now the Mountain West, obviously, they have to. They put out reports now that just basically tell you who's not available. They don't really have to get into the details of that. They just have to tell you who's not available for the game. And having no running backs on that, which kind of goes to my point of where I need to see this team, I think they can win some games here down the stretch if they commit, really commit to the run game, and that's a good start. So on the report, they have Jackson Warren still listed, out, full game. I'm just trying to look at any of the other ones. Obviously, we know about the guys that are out for the season. Aiden Hector is out for this one. He was out last week, too. Jaquez Evans is out for the season. Donut, that was a big get for CSU. We talked about maybe being standout linebacker for this team. He's out for the season. So the injuries are rough, but nothing, I guess, major to add to that for this game this weekend. But this is a huge game. I did see this one, and I want to talk about this on the CSU side of it. And I'm not sure where I stand on all this stuff. Snow days are headed to Colorado State. Colorado State University is bringing the thrill of the Rockies to campus this November with Snow Day, a 3-day celebration of Colorado's winter sports, outdoor lifestyle, and Ram pride. It's going to be featuring high-energy activities, football and basketball, and basketball games, and exclusive merchandise. I mean, dude, they're pushing. I put the logo out on my X account, and it's that old school Ram, you know, with the stiff upper lip thing, and he's got a beanie on, a CSU beanie with snow surrounding. Okay, that's cool. I guess for me, the uniform stuff, or are they going to wear different uniforms, or is this a different logo? I'm not big into the world of having a different uniform for every single game. And there's rumors that are swirling around that maybe CSU maybe might be considering doing away with the state pride uniforms and stuff. Like, Mike, I don't know where you sit on that, but like, you know, we've seen Oregon, they kind of started it. They got different uniforms for every single game. I don't, aside from Ag Day for CSU, I don't really love having different, like the state pride thing. I'm not in it. I don't really enjoy that one. It's not your green and gold. If that's your color, stay with your colors.
I'm going to old man on this. Yeah, Washington, they wore their black uniforms, and that really pissed me off.
They're cool
looking, but... I want to see the regular colors. Same with the Broncos. I every now and then do those all navy blue colors. Never change the uniforms. Like, I don't like the new uniforms that they came out with 2 years ago. I didn't like them.
The Broncos should just stay with the old. When they wore the old orange last year.
They should
with
go
the
back
old school,
to the 90s.
And I like the white helmet. I do.
I hate it.
I like the white helmet just as a merchandise item. And this is all about sales and
yeah, the merchandise item, yes, but don't wear it in a game because so far the Broncos haven't won in it.
They need to go with orange jerseys, like, and then the blue helmet, the old school logo. I would love to see that come back.
The only time, like, go with the old school uniforms and then keep the home in the way they used to be. The only time you go back to the navy blue is where you wear all navy.
So, like, when they did the color mash or whatever
for Thursday night games? Not the color mash, because when they did the all orange and the navy blue helmet, that didn't work.
I know I feel like you and I both are kind of in the minority on this, but I don't love, we're coming out with state pride uniforms. It's about merchandise, and I understand that, but I like the idea of just staying true to what, you know, who you are on a regular basis. Like, GoPoke's texting in, says he hates the black. Did you see Wyoming's coming out with this, like, charcoal black uniform?
What's wrong with their brown?
Against CSU for the border war. Like, it's neat looking. The uniforms themselves, they look sharp. But I like staying true to who you are. Stay with the unis, man.
Yeah, stay with their ugly brown and yellow uniforms.
Oh, you're brown and yellow.
Yeah, stay with what they are. Who cares? Like, I just don't like it. Frickin' Oregon. Oregon messed everything up. Oregon and West Virginia are the bane of my existence in college football.
Yeah.
Or West Virginia's the reason why everything's gone all screwy with all the realignments.
Yeah, they started it. And again, they're not bad looking uniforms. I've never been one to really complain about the actual look of the uniforms. It's just, I like staying true. I like when Elway came out when he first started with Denver as a VP and was like, we're going to do Orange Sunday. You know, whatever happened to that? Big Hub says, so you don't like the CSU snow thing? It's cool, but I just don't.
Wear it in practice.
It's cool for merchandise. Make them for people to buy, but I don't need to see you wear 45 different uniforms every year. I don't need to see you come out with state pride. Like, the Rockies did their license plate looking uniforms. It was terrible.
Yeah, and when you join the game late and you're like, I'm going to root for the white. Wait, what?
Yeah, I'm not in on that. It's not great.
What was it, CSU, that were wearing, like, all white, and I was looking for the green team, and I'm like, wait a minute. Who is CSU? I can't tell.
Well, you know, the other thing that drives me nuts, too, is when they do their Aggie Day and you get certain commentators, like Jenny Kavanaugh, who's great, but when she was broadcasting the game, she kept calling them the Aggies. You know, 10-4, Aggies lead. And if you're, like, not a Rams person and you're tuning into that game nationally because it's, like, on CBS regionally, it's on CBS Sports, and you're hearing 10-4 Aggies. No, you're still the Rams. You're doing your Ag Day thing, but you don't suddenly go away from what you are. Like, that part bothers me. So, I mean, I guess the snow day thing's cool. I shared out the logo of it. Is that what they're going to put on their helmet for a game? I just like staying true to who you are. Stay with your colors. Stay with your typical uniform. And if you're not crazy about your uniforms, then change your colors up, do something else. I actually like the pumpkin orange and the alfalfa green.
Yeah, I think you should change your uniforms if your uniforms are really stupid. Like the Seahawks, really dumb uniforms. They should get rid of them. They've had dumb uniforms for years. They need to get rid of them and start over.
Yeah. 34 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick, Mike, and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. there's only one. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
1, 2, 3, up. My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure.
I want to thank Renaissance Insurance Group, formed by two UNC Bears alumni. They're having fun watching this Bears team. Over 20 years ago, Renaissance Insurance has always had our backs. They specialize in risk management, commercial and personal insurance needs for Weld and Larimer County, and are the go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call my guy, Ryan, at 970-674-8825. Yeah, we're getting some texts on this too. Aaron says, I'm not too crazy, on all the jersey combinations, but I kind of like the, you know, the throwback uniforms once in a while. Yeah, I don't mind once in a while throwing something out, but, you know, Big Hub says we need all green, and all white. Yeah, just stay with who you are. You don't need a different jersey combination every single, you know, every other week or whatever. And I don't want to get into that kind of thing. Text line's being weird, Mike. Let's see. I didn't see the, I did see that. The special uniforms are, the best special uniforms are the service academies, the Army, Navy, games, helmets. So always look forward to that. Yeah, those are pretty cool. I'll give you that. Those are actually pretty cool. Like, those are nice. And like I said, I like the black for Wyoming. Go Poke says he thinks they suck. I like them. I just don't like that. That's not who you are. Those aren't your colors. Stay with your colors, man. Be proud of them. They're not the prettiest colors, but you own it. Own those colors. That's what I like. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Yeah, this is a big, big weekend. Again, last weekend, Keeler gave me crap for saying this. I wasn't talking about Prime's health, but it was kind of a survival weekend for a lot of the area teams. Teams absolutely needed to get wins. Wyoming needed to get a win to survive. Jay Norvell probably saved his job, like, for the rest of the season by beating Fresno State. But I know the goal is to do much more than that. You lose to Hawaii, then you're 2-5. Ugh, it gets rough. That one is, I got my eye on that one for sure. This opened with Hawaii as a 1.5 point favorite. And now they're a 2.5 point dog in this game, Hawaii is. The matchup predictor, according to ESPN, has a CSU at a 71.7% chance of winning this game, which I think this would go, again, a long way in determining what you're going to do with Jay Norvell. Do you think, Mike, that they either at the end of this season, if they don't fire him, do they need to give him a contract extension?
No.
But that's so hard to recruit. It's hard to recruit right now. That's even more difficult to recruit, to basically say, I got 1 year.
You give him a contract extension and he has a crappy season, you have to pay him more. When you fire him.
Not necessarily. You're saying if they give him a contract extension, it's going to be a lot more for the next 3 years or whatever.
Yeah. The contract extension says, we have faith in you. Like, I just don't think that will have faith in him.
But you need it to know, like, there's a future. And these coaches going into a 1 year, like a, when you say lame duck coach, whatever, I mean, where's their head when they're trying to recruit and build for the future? Are they building a future for somebody else? Like I think a decision is going to have to be made. I think you either decide he's not your guy, or you think he's good enough to sign him to a 2 or 3 year contract extension on top of next season.
Then I would fire him.
Then that's what I'm saying. if you don't think he's good enough to give a contract extension to at the end of the season, you need to move on. Because that is going to make it more difficult to recruit. Players are not going to, oh, this is not going to be the top on of anybody's radar. Because if the players aren't paying attention, their parents are. Oh, I don't want my kid to commit to Jay Norvell if he's not going to be there next year. And then we'll have to uproot everything and enter the transfer portal and start all over. Yeah, the transfer portal is nice for a lot of players. And a lot of people look at that as a fun part of college football now or a terrible part of college football now. But I don't think when you're starting your career, your first thought is, we'll get going and then I'll just enter the portal. Now, maybe if you're at a lesser school, you're a smaller area, but the kind of guys that CSU's getting, most of them aren't going to go to the very next year to like a top-tier school. So the idea is that, hey, I'm going to commit to Jay Norvell and we're going to build something there, but I don't even know if he's going to be around. That makes it really tough. So, I mean, to do Jay a favor, it's like you might as well cut bait. He can go find somewhere else and sign a 5-year deal, 4-year deal, whatever, and then he can build on that. The problem with a 1-year deal is you're still trying to recruit. Where's your head mentally? Trying to prepare for the future. You're not just recruiting for next season. Does Jay recruit as hard? If it's all about one season, then I'm hitting the transfer portal. Like, that's where I'm really putting my focus on. So that's why when we talk about this and you get some Rams fans, they're like, wait a second, he still has a year left. Why are we talking about all this hot seat stuff? Because going into a contract year, most coaches like to have that done now. If they're going into their final year in the contract, they like to either have it done now or, now obviously they're not going to vote for not having a job. But it just makes things, and I think your football program would suffer. If I'm giving you, I don't believe in you yet, but we're going to let you finish your year. Okay, John, but I got to tell you, man, that's really going to hurt our recruiting efforts. If guys don't know I'm here for the long haul, that's going to be a lot harder to get these dudes to commit to me. Even transfer portal stuff, that's going to be hard for guys to commit to me. Because they're not just getting guys that have 1 year left on their deal or in their college career. But if that's what you want to do, then if you tell me, if you're John Weber, Mike, and you're telling me I gotta win next year, and then you'll give me a contract extension. Fine. I'm going after all dudes, like seniors, guys that got 1 year left. That might hurt in the long run, but at least it secures me for at least another contract extension. Then we might be terrible after the fact, but this is a really difficult spot for John Weber.
I don't care what happens this year. I'm not giving him a contract extension.
Oh, if he gets to 7 or 8, I'm giving him a contract extension.
You have to.
I
will give him a contract extension if he has some great wins at the beginning of part of next year. I will give him a contract extension of 2 years.
Yeah, you don't give him there's no rule that says you have to give him like a 5-year deal or a 5-year contract extension or 4-year contract extension. You just say, hey, we'll tack on another 2 years after next season.
I can't give him an extra year after this. Like, the only way I would even like remotely consider it is if he blows everybody out. If CSU starts blowing teams out of the water, then maybe, but probably not.
Oh, if he's blowing people out of the water, if they beat Hawaii the way they beat Fresno State, and then they turn around and do the same thing to Wyoming, that's a rivalry win. Then, yeah, he's well on his way. He wins 2 more, then I think that seat just got a big old bucket of water poured all over it. And it's starting to cool off a bit if he does that. If he beats Hawaii in a convincing way and he does the same thing with Wyoming.
Problem is, you're playing in a Wenchel's conference.
Doesn't matter. You're playing in a Wenchel's conference next year, too. It's not getting better. Unless you think that Oregon State and Washington State are that much better. Yeah, they beat the hell out of you 2 weeks ago, but you're still playing in that not great conference. 48 minutes after the hour. Coming up, we've got buy or sell. We've got the Thursday night special, of course. Time to get right. 500 on the year. Need a dub like you wouldn't believe as we're focusing on Pittsburgh and Cincinnati tonight. Kevin Lytle will join us talking all things Colorado State. at 1:35. Looking forward to that conversation as always. This is The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Join Kyle Johnson and Bruce Dick for the high school football game of the week. Fridays on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Guys, if you haven't been to Big City Roadhouse, you are missing out. Big City flavor, Roadhouse comfort. They're in where the Cables location was. They took over that area, and that was an awesome transition. And I know they're still working with the folks from Cables to just kind of still to create this new fun vibe, but still trying to stay somewhat true to what the customers know and love and have been to for a while or have experienced for a while. But you guys, they got breakfast burritos now. They're serving breakfast burritos every day, 10 a.m. to noon. Dude, I'm a big breakfast burrito guy. So Big City Roadhouse hooking you up. Stop by. Tell them you heard about them right here on The Whole Show. You guys got to try it. Everything I've tried so far has been absolutely delicious. The pizza, the burgers, every dish has been delicious. So stop by Big City Roadhouse and tell them we sent you here. Coming up, we'll get to buy or sell. And then we've got the Thursday night special. I mean, these are the ones you got to be careful with, Mike. I mean, the Steelers are 4.5-point favorites against the Bengals now with Joe Flacco.
Not that they were 5-point favorites.
Oh, that was yesterday. Things change. So
what changed? What new information came out?
Derbs will talk to you about like betting lines and just the way I'm not the one to talk to you about that. Like I could tell you why suddenly an announcement on an injury happens and then, oh, that's changed. But a lot of it has to do with the trends and the bets and all that. And that's getting into the weeds of it. And I couldn't give you a real educated guess on that side of it. All right, coming up, we got buy or sell and then we'll hit it. We got to get to four wins tonight. Desperation time. Stick with us. Final hour of the show coming up next. It's The Whole Show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.